Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
China moves to ease trade tensions with waivers for U.S. soybean purchases.
The U.K. Supreme Court rules on Boris Johnson's move to suspend Parliament.
Facebook makes an acquisition to bolster its virtual reality ambitions.
President Trump denies tying Ukraine military aid to the Biden probe. Plus, President Trump goes before the U.N. General Assembly today. I'm Michael Bond. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Sharon in sports. The Mets lost to the Marlins. NFL, the Bears beat the Redskins, and the Giants learned Saquon Barkley's injury will keep him out 4 to 8 weeks.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are following European stocks higher today. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 7.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 64. NASDAQ futures up 26. The DAX in Germany is little changed. CAC in Paris up about 0.2%. And the FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32. Yield 1.70%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 42 cents at $58.21 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.2% or $2.30 at $15.29.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0994 against the dollar. The yen at 107.63. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with another sign of easing tensions in the trade war. Bloomberg News has learned China is granting new waivers for companies to purchase U.S. soybeans without tariffs. We get details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The companies are said to have received waivers on tariffs for 2 to 3 million tons of American soy. Sources say some firms have already bought at least 20 cargoes. That's about 1.2 million tons of soybeans from the Pacific Northwest. Among the companies are state-owned buyers COFCO and Sinograin, as well as five other crushers. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. And as the trade war bites, China is in no rush to add massive monetary stimulus. That's according to Central Bank Governor Yi Gang, who says the PBOC must maintain a prudent policy stance. Eric Norland, a senior economist at CME Group.
They've not really explored the possibility of cutting interest rates too much in the last few years. They have a lot of latitude to ease interest rate policy if they want to. The other thing China can do, and has already been doing, of course, is to allow the currency to fall to lower and lower levels. Wouldn't it surprise me to see them let the currency slide a bit further, which boosts their competitiveness with exports.
And checking China's currency now, the offshore yuan is trading at 7.1023 against the dollar.
Meanwhile, stocks in Asia finished the day slightly higher. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japan's TOPIX index rose 0.4% as traders returned from the long weekend. Chinese stocks rose in the on and offshore currencies strengthened. Stocks in Hong Kong gained for the first time in 7 sessions, while Indian stocks were a little less volatile after a record 2.2 billion shares changed hands during Friday and Monday sessions. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Back here in the U.S., we're hearing from several Federal Reserve officials with more on the way. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports.
St. Louis Fed President James Bullard thinks more interest rate cuts may be needed. San Francisco Chief Mary Daly says she backed the central bank's most recent cut and that monetary policy can and should offset the drag from trade headwinds. New York President John Williams thinks recent volatility in money markets raises questions about bank reserve levels, while former New York boss Bill Dudley tells us the turmoil could lead the Fed to increase their balance sheet.
There was always going to be a point where the reserve supply shrank to the point that we would see upward pressure on short-term rates. And when we reached that point, the Fed would know, what do they need to do? They need to add more reserves to the system. And that's what we saw over the past week.
In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Dudley says Fed officials will likely consider a new tool to contain short-term interest rates. Coming up this week, we get remarks from 9 more policymakers, including Vice Chairman Richard Clarida. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thanks. And in coming up in just about a half hour, the UK Supreme Court rules on whether Boris Johnson acted lawfully when he suspended Parliament. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with a preview. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. This is one of the most eagerly awaited judgments in Britain's modern legal history. The 11 judges have to decide first whether they have the right to rule on this at all, whether it's a political matter or a judicial one. If they decide they do have that right, then they have to judge whether or not Boris Johnson advised Queen Elizabeth to use her powers correctly. If both judgments go against Johnson, it's unclear what happens next. Technically, Parliament should reassemble, but theoretically the Prime Minister could just suspend it all over again. These are strange times. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Roger, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, Facebook is making an acquisition. Sources tell us the social network has agreed to buy CTRL Labs for somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion. The move would give Facebook a company building software to let people control digital avatars with their minds. Kurt Wagner explains from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The idea is that you wear this bracelet on your wrist that detects the neurons in your body sent from your brain to tell your body to move, your muscles to move, your hand to open. And what it does is when it detects that, it actually translates that onto a computer screen. So if you're thinking about opening your hand, the digital version of your hand on the screen might actually open even if you aren't physically doing it in real life.
And shares of Facebook are up about 0.5% in early trading.
As the board at WeWork considers removing Adam Neumann as CEO, it could be a while before we get an official decision. That's according to Gene Munster, founder and managing partner at Loop Ventures.
This is probably going to take a good year or so to sort itself out. That may sound like it's slightly out of touch with reality, but I do not think he will survive as CEO. I think he will be some sort of executive chairman. But ultimately, getting an organization like this in high growth mode to align with some more scrupulous public investors is a most difficult agenda.
WeWork's board is expected to discuss removing Adam Neumann as soon as this week.
And Google has won a European court battle over the right to be forgotten. The EU Court of Justice has previously told Google to remove European links to websites that contain out-of-date or false information. This time, the French Privacy Authority was seeking to extend that rule globally, but the court says the ruling will only apply in Europe. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Ordered his staff to freeze nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine a few days before a phone call to that country's president to investigate the family of Joe Biden. That's according to a person familiar with the matter, Bloomberg's national security editor, Bill Ferris.
Well, it's certainly possible that, you know, we know he did have a call with Ukraine's leadership and could have discussed the issue of corruption. That's been a long-standing issue with Ukraine that goes back to the Obama administration, in fact. There's been a lot of concern about where Western support for Ukraine really ends up. That's very different than then talking to the president of the country and saying, is there any way you could, you know, investigate one of my biggest political opponents here? That's really the crux of the issue. That's what has people on the Democratic side saying, let's see a transcript of that call.
The new revelation comes as more Democrats move toward impeachment proceedings. Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, an early proponent of impeaching the president, attended a pro-impeachment rally held by the youth-led group By the People on Capitol Hill.
We have a situation that is hurting our democracy, that's jeopardizing, really, I think, our way forward in our country.
President Trump has denied saying anything inappropriate during the July 25th conversation with the president of Ukraine that triggered a whistleblower complaint. President Trump said he is not ruling out a meeting with Iran during the UN General Assembly, though no meeting has been scheduled. During a bilateral meeting with Egyptian President El-Sisi, President Trump said Iran may be open to a meeting and dismissed the idea of French President Emmanuel Macron mediating between Washington and Tehran.
Iran wants to do something, and I don't think we need a mediator. He's a friend of mine, but we're not looking for any mediators. They know who to call.
Trump goes before the UN General Assembly today. The Trump Organization has given thousands of pages of documents to New York State prosecutors probing whether the company falsified business records related to hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. The disclosure came in a filing by Manhattan District Attorney Cyrus Vance Jr. as part of a court fight over whether Trump's accountant must surrender the president's and his company's tax returns. A 6.0 magnitude earthquake shook the island of Puerto Rico late last night. So far, there are no reports of damage or injuries. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, most surprising about that giant comeback Sunday at Tampa Bay from 18 down at the half was that they did it without Saquon Barkley, last seen hopping off the field in Tampa. The Giants admitted yesterday Barkley's high ankle sprain will keep him out at least 1 month, maybe as long as two, a devastating blow to be without their best player. But off their first win, the Giants are favored to get another one this Sunday. They host Washington. The Redskins are 0-3. Last night, a lopsided home loss to Chicago. Bears led 28-0, went on to win 31-15. They forced five Washington turnovers. As for the still winless Jets, they're off this week, and they hope maybe Sam Darnold can return from mono after that. The Jets have looked lost without their quarterback.
It's disappointing that I'm not able to go out there and help the team as much as I can, you know, but it is what it is. And it sucks watching too from the couch. But the things that we need to fix are just little things, and we can get them fixed. It's just about staying the course and continuing to try to do things right, and it starts in practice.
Jets three games after the bye are tough ones. The Eagles, Cowboys, and Patriots. At Citi Field, Mets lost to the Marlins 8-4. Steven Matz gave up the first six. His record now 10-10, and the Mets' official elimination from playoff contention could come as early as tonight. Milwaukee seized that second NL wild card by winning 15 of 17. Yankees tonight at Tampa Bay, and the Rays are involved in the one pennant race that remains. The AL wild card, the Rays won last night. They are a half game ahead of Cleveland. Regular season ends on Sunday. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are higher by almost 8 points right now. Dow futures up 68 points. NASDAQ futures higher by 25.5, and the 10-year Treasury yield 1.71%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks advancing with U.S. stock index futures, while Asian shares rose modestly as investors weigh hopes for high-level trade talks next month between the U.S. and China against mixed economic data from around the globe. Treasuries are ticking higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 9 points. Dow futures up 77. NASDAQ futures up 29. The DAX in Germany is up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.71%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.9% or 50 cents at $58.14 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $3.80 at $15.27.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.0996 against the dollar. British pound, 1.2440. And the yen at 107.69. Anheuser-Busch InBev has pulled off one of the year's biggest initial public offerings the second time around, raising about $5 billion by listing its Asia unit in Hong Kong 2 months after scrapping the original share sale. And today we get two reports on home prices out at 9 o'clock Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Trump goes before the UN General Assembly today. World leaders are grappling with several issues, including climate change, regional conflicts, and a potential dispute in the Middle East. President Trump ordered his acting chief of staff to delay sending $400 million in military aid to Ukraine at least a week before he spoke to that country's president. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. Trump's July 25th telephone call with the new Ukrainian president is the subject of a congressional investigation and is part of a whistleblower complaint. In Monday Night Football, the Bears down the Redskins 31-15. In baseball, the Mets' chances to make the playoffs got slimmer. They lost to the Marlins 8-4. The Red Sox and Orioles also lost. The Nationals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined now by Daniel Morris, Senior Investment Strategist at BNP Paribas Asset Management. Good to talk with you this morning, Daniel, as we see a lift, a modest lift, for U.S. equity futures this morning, presumably on the latest U.S.-China trade news. Is there reason for optimism longer term on the U.S.-China trade front?
I think we once bitten, twice bitten, thrice bitten. I don't think anyone has any firm convictions on the outcome from here. I mean, certainly when there's good news, the market rallies on that. We sure would all love to see it. But I think we're all quite aware at this point that even if there appears to be an agreement that can change the next day, I think, unfortunately, there was a lesson from what happened with Mexico that even if there is an agreement and everything's signed and ready to go, Trump at some point could decide to use the threat of tariffs again to try to achieve some other political economic aim. So I think we have come to the point where we've learned to live with the volatility, and I hope at this point no one really is counting on a deal to really be the driver of a market rally from here.
If we're living with the volatility, how do you advise investors to take advantage of volatility?
Well, certainly that's an opportunity. And I think in general, it really does argue for one of the reasons that it is an environment that is better for active managers. If you look at how markets have performed since September last year, really over the last 4 months, even though the rally year to date is quite strong, over the last 12 months, not very much. Over the last 4 months, not very much. So you've had these rallies and then setbacks. And so those are really when you've got to look for the opportunity. So I think it's not an environment where stocks are just going to go up and you can assume that the rising tide is going to lift all boats. I think you do need to be more active. You got to look for those opportunities when the sell-offs do occur, or at the same time, take profits when markets get carried away.
All right. Well, we're also seeing a lift, a modest lift here on the short end of the U.S. Treasury curve. Are there still lingering concerns out there about the growth outlook?
Well, I think that certainly was a message that we got yesterday from Europe. We had quite disappointing purchasing manager indices figures for France and Germany, and that helped explain part of the rally that you got in 10-year treasuries last year. And the story up to now has been, you know, how long can the U.S. keep a relatively robust growth rate when you've got a slowdown in Europe and you have a slowdown in China? And I think that was brought back to everyone's minds with the data yesterday. So I think it's something that is absolutely relevant. On one hand, the U.S. does have the advantage of being a relatively closed economy. But at the same time, if the rest of the world is decelerating, that's got to have an impact on U.S. growth. And that's really the tug of war that you've had going on between bond yields and equity prices for most of this year.
It seems as though we're starting to see some differences of opinion within the Federal Reserve on how to react to some of these headwinds. Is there a way to find conviction on where central banks could be headed at this point?
I think it's going to – well, the story from the central banks has always been that it's data-dependent, and we're going to have a actually fairly significant data point out on Friday, which is the personal consumption expenditures, or PCE, measure of inflation. We, of course, tend to look at CPI. The Fed tends to look at PCE as their measure of underlying inflation. And one of the debates that's going on is, you know, is inflation structurally lower than it's been in the past, or is this just a temporary blip? Will it come back, given the level of growth and given the unemployment rate? And it's trying to answer that question that's going to give us a read on how the Fed is going to move from here. If we do see a bit of a recovery in inflation, which could happen given that CPI last month was better than expected, I think that's going to take out some of those expectations for cuts that the market currently has priced in for Fed funds. And that actually is potentially a risk to equity markets, because some of the rally that we've seen so far this year is premised on those cuts. And now if you assume that maybe not all those cuts are going to happen, there's a risk then to the equity prices.
About 30 seconds left here. What do you see as the next catalyst for markets? What will you be looking for?
I think really it is going to be trade at this point. We've gotten through all the central bank meetings. We had the ECB, Bank of Japan, Bank of England, and, of course, the Fed. Right now we're kind of in between in terms of earnings results, so it is going to be back on trade, I think, for a while. But don't forget, of course, you do have Brexit going on. There's going to be a big announcement today around some machinations of the current government in the UK around Brexit. So that is still something that's in the background that could be a risk to the UK, to Europe, and then ultimately to the US.
Yeah, we could literally get that decision in just a few minutes here from the UK Supreme Court. Daniel Morris, Senior Investment Strategist, BNP Paribas Asset Management. We'll have to leave it there for now, but of course we will be watching for that UK Supreme Court decision. It is expected at 10:30 London time. That's 5:30 Wall Street time, just about 5 minutes from now. Ahead of that, S&P futures are higher by almost 10 points. Dow futures up 82, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 31 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2019 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date in the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are higher amid signs of easing tensions in the trade war. Bloomberg News has learned that China's granting new waivers for companies to purchase U.S. soybeans without tariffs. We get more from a Bloomberg's Enda Curran in Hong Kong.
There is a feeling among economists that these subset of issues around market access, IP, and purchasing farm goods can be resolved over coming weeks. And this gesture now by China to allow some state-owned buyers, including COFCO and so on, to go and buy some soybeans from the U.S. kind of adds to that argument.
And sources say Chinese companies received waivers for between 2 and 3 million tons of soybeans ahead of meetings between trade negotiators next month.
Google has won a European court battle over the right to be forgotten. The EU Court of Justice had previously told Google to remove European links to websites that contain out-of-date or false information. This time, the French privacy authority was seeking to extend that rule globally, but the court says the ruling will only apply in Europe.
Facebook is making an acquisition. Sources tell us the social network has agreed to buy CTRL Labs, a company building software to let people control digital avatars with their minds. Kurt Wagner has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
We are reporting they paid more than $500 million for this company. And we've seen a bunch of other tech companies get into AR as well, the idea of Snapchat or Microsoft. I mean, this is a very fertile kind of technology here, this artificial intelligence and this augmented reality. And so it's no surprise that Facebook is investing pretty heavily here.
And shares of Facebook are up 0.5% in early trading.
In Asia, AB InBev has raised about $5 billion after pricing the year's second biggest IPO at the bottom of its marketed range. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
Shares of Budweiser Brewing APAC are said to have been priced at 27 Hong Kong dollars each, right at the bottom of a pricing range. It's a major boost to Hong Kong as it comes right in the midst of the U.S.-China trade war and the Hong Kong protests. The issue starts trading September 30th. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And in any minute now, we await a UK Supreme Court ruling on whether Prime Minister Boris Johnson acted unlawfully when suspending Parliament. We'll bring that to you live when it happens. And futures this morning are higher, with S&P futures up about 10 points, Dow futures up 80, NASDAQ futures up 31. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1% or 58 cents at $58.06 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Members of Congress are paying attention to the running attacks from President Trump and former Vice President Biden regarding Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says investigation should not focus on his admitted conversation with the president of the Ukraine, but focus largely on the discredited allegations against Joe and Hunter Biden.
Biden did what they would like to have me do, except for one problem. I didn't do it. What Biden did is a disgrace. What his son did is a disgrace.
Meanwhile, Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani on Fox says he can't be 100% certain that the president didn't threaten Ukraine's president.
That was a false story.
100%.
Well, I can't tell you if it's 100%.
Because we know that the administration did delay U.S. aid to Ukraine.
Both Congress members Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi say this could move them steps closer to opening impeachment proceedings. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Donald Trump goes before the U.N. General Assembly today. The president is praising British and French efforts to find a diplomatic solution and reduce tension between the U.S. and Iran. However, the president says the U.S. is not looking for any mediators. World leaders and chief executives of global corporations gathered at a United Nations summit yesterday to say that a 16-year-old climate activist from Sweden is right. They are failing. Greta Thunberg told a crowd of more than 300 presidents, prime ministers, CEOs, bankers, and delegates that they've let down her entire generation by not acting on climate change.
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Meanwhile, China's foreign minister Wang Yi took a swipe at President Trump during the UN summit, saying the world will continue to fight global warming without him. An American soldier is in custody in connection with plotting a terror attack inside the U.S. The FBI says infantryman Jared William Smith allegedly planned on targeting a news network with a large vehicle full of bombs and named presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke as a potential target for assassination. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden, Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Mets surprisingly got back into the pennant race with that 15-1 stretch with six straight home losses in late August. Meant they had a very small margin of error, and they needed help, and the Milwaukee Brewers did not provide that. They've won 15 of the last 17, and the NL wildcard game will almost certainly be Milwaukee against Washington. The Mets last night lost to the lowly Marlins 8-4. They were down 6-0. They got in a Amed Rosario grand slam, but nothing else, and the Mets elimination could come as early as tonight. And yet, Mickey Callaway still refuses to wave the white flag.
Backs are against the wall. I think this team has performed pretty well when their backs are against the wall, so we need to step it up. We need to make another run at it. Never give up. I think that that's all this team knows how to do.
Yankees off last night, started a two-game series tonight at Tampa Bay. Rays are in a fight to make the AL wild card game. Yanks have their sights set on finishing with baseball's best record. They're a half game behind Houston. Monday Night Football in Washington. Chicago won easily 31-15. The Bears at one point led 28-0. Mitchell Trubisky, three touchdown passes. All three went to Tyler Gabriel. Case Keenum threw three interceptions, making you wonder if the 0-3 Redskins might bench Keenum when they visit the Giants on Sunday. That would make for a game between rookie quarterbacks Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones, top two QBs taken in the draft. But Washington coach Jay Gruden said last night he's not making that move. Sunday will be Jones's first home start. No Saquon Barkley. His high ankle sprain is going to keep him out at least 1 month and maybe two. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on GM's big bet on electric and self-driving cars. Also in this week's issue, how health insurance companies are cashing in on White House moves to weaken Obamacare. Zeke Fox wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
What's known as a short-term medical plan. This is a kind of policy that's exempt from the requirements of the Affordable Care Act. So her policy had all sorts of limitations that she was not aware of.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week on newsstands now and online at businessweek.com. Terminal customers can subscribe to the magazine at MAGGO, and you can listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Nathan, New York Mayor Bill de Blasio calling for a government-sponsored retirement savings plan for workers whose companies don't offer one. The proposal's modeled after private 401k or IRA savings plans. It's consistent with themes de Blasio raised during his short-lived presidential candidacy. Well, over the past few years, 12 companies have threatened to leave New Jersey and move to an office development in New York called Blue Hill Plaza unless the state gave tens of millions in tax credits. Well, the New York Times is reporting none followed through on that threat, but all 12 got pretty lucrative tax credits from New Jersey. Well, to cut costs, the post office is proposing closing East Hartford's Main Street post office and moving services to a much smaller location. Automation, declining mail volume, and other factors have reduced required space, according to the Postal Service. And that's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Khoury. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thanks. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that Disney's U.S. Parks chief is leaving after 15 years with the company.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. The FAA is recommending better pilot training in the wake of the Boeing 737 MAX crashes.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're reporting on the Supreme Court's ruling on the Prime Minister's suspension of Parliament and what it may mean for Brexit.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm reporting on Facebook's purchase of New York brain machine interface startup Control Labs.
I'm Ed Khoury on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting Tesla plans to open in most of Eastern Europe early next year.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Coming up today, earnings from Nike. We get a preview ahead of the results from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says demand for shoes and apparel likely drove solid sales and margin results for the latest quarter. Nike has been investing to boost visibility of its lines for women. Nike is seen posting a profit of 70 cents a share on revenue topping $10.4 billion. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Jeff. You can find a complete list of companies reporting earnings today at ACDR Go on the terminal. Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by Virgin Atlantic. Over 300 hours of onboard entertainment, flatbeds for napping, and afternoon tea. Daily nonstop flights to the UK in partnership with Delta Airlines.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we have some breaking news crossing the Bloomberg. The UK Supreme Court saying Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament was unlawful, and it said that Parliament should meet as soon as possible. And those just the headlines. Of course, we'll have more on that story in just a moment. But first, taking a look at the markets with S&P futures higher this morning, up 10 points. Dow futures up 86, NASDAQ futures up 31. DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. CAC in Paris up 0.3%. The FTSE 100 down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.71%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.9% or 54 cents at $58.10 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.40 to $15.28.20 an ounce. The euro at 1.0997 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2471 and the yen is at 107.75. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the Ukraine scandal centered on President Trump has some lawmakers saying that they would consider impeachment proceedings on the president if his administration fails to turn over a whistleblower complaint to the House Intelligence Committee concerning Ukraine. It comes as the president addresses the UN General Assembly today. Forecasters say a tropical depression will unleash heavy rains across the northeastern Caribbean today that could cause flooding and landslides in Puerto Rico and nearby islands. Meanwhile, a magnitude 6.0 earthquake shook Puerto Rico last night. So far, no word of any significant damage. Monday Night Football, the Bears down the Redskins 31-15. In baseball, the Mets' chances to make the playoffs got slimmer. They lost to the Marlins. The Red Sox and Orioles also lost. The Nationals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 5:49 on Wall Street, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Let's get more now on the UK Supreme Court decision that Karen just alluded to. It has prompted a couple of red headlines on the Bloomberg terminal. The Supreme Court says Prime Minister Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament was unlawful and that Parliament should meet as soon as possible. For more on this, we're joined live in London by Bloomberg's Guy Johnson. From what we understand, Guy, this was a ruling on more than one case involving the suspension of Parliament. Can you sort of unpack what has just unfolded in the Supreme Court this morning?
This is a huge and devastating blow for Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who suspended Parliament for 5 weeks and as a result faced a number of legal cases. The two that are germane here are ones that took place in Scotland and one that took place in the United Kingdom. Both challenged Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament. In Scotland, it was ruled that those challenges would proceed, i.e. that the government had acted illegally. In the UK, it was ruled that courts did not have the authority, as a result of which all of this went to the Supreme Court. So those are the two cases. The Supreme Court then had to effectively rule on three things. The first one was, do the courts have the authority to rule on this? I.e., is this completely in the political arena, or do the courts have authority here? The court ruled that it had authority, and it took precedent all the way back to the 1600s, when we had a king rather than Parliament.
Wow.
The second factor, Nathan, was whether or not the government had acted illegally. It ruled that he had acted illegally, that the government had acted illegally and the Prime Minister had acted illegally and had given illegal advice to the Queen. We'll come back to that in just a moment. And the third was, what happens then? And the ruling has been that Parliament should return ASAP. Effectively, the prorogation never happened. The suspension never happened. If you're an MP now, you could walk back into the chamber. Parliament is reopened for business. It is a stunning defeat, Nathan, for the government.
So if the prorogation never happened, if Parliament is not suspended, what happens next for the Prime Minister?
In theory, he now faces a Parliament that is going to be back and will be challenging every move that he makes. Remember that the government doesn't have a majority in Parliament at the moment. In fact, it is a minority government. He has very little authority in Parliament, and as a result of which, Parliament can now push back on everything that he has been doing. There is another factor here as well, Nathan, that is worth bearing in mind. The court has ruled that the advice that Boris Johnson gave to the Queen of England, to the Queen, to the sovereign, was illegal. In normal times, it would be expected that the Prime Minister in that situation would resign. Whether or not he will, we'll wait and see.
So then, does the Queen have any say over this? I mean, our understanding here on this side of the pond is that the Queen, the sovereign, generally stays separated from politics.
Well, she does, but it is still her government, and she needs to accept what government business is. She appoints the Prime Minister. This is how the process works. It is a parliamentary democracy with the sovereign sitting above that. Now, the sovereign doesn't have any political authority, but nevertheless, the sovereign has considerable authority to give the final say to bills, to give the government a seal of approval. So all of these factors, and the Prime Minister serves the Queen, effectively. She is still the head of state. Now, she can't, I don't think, my understanding is, and I'm not a lawyer in this situation to be able to kind of say, but I don't think she can force the Prime Minister to resign. But there will be huge numbers of calls now for the Prime Minister to resign. This is something that I certainly can't recall ever happening before. It is absolutely momentous. There have been suspicions maybe that during the Suez crisis in the 50s that maybe the Prime Minister may have told a few white lies to the sovereign, but nothing like this. This is absolutely unbelievable.
And we're talking about unprecedented times here. Bloomberg's Guy Johnson, thank you for joining us. We have to leave it there for now, but of course we're going to have much more on the Supreme Court's ruling, the implications for the UK government, what happens next with Brexit as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. 5:54 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Joan Doniger in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Corporate boards are boosting their financial expertise. About 90% of Fortune 100 companies told investors directors who bring experience as chief financial officers are most in demand. An FCC order that eased restrictions on companies such as Sinclair Broadcast and News Corp from owning certain broadcast stations and newspapers in a single market has been overturned by a federal appeals court. And the Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven copyright battle is now before the full Ninth Circuit Court. The band is fighting charges. The song's open is too similar to guitarist Randy Wolf's song, Chorus.
All right, Joan, thank you. Now another legal development. We're watching California asking a federal court to prevent President Trump from stripping the state of its power to set limits on auto emissions. For more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Vermont law professor Pat Parento.
Pat, let's start with the basics of the California lawsuit. Does it raise novel questions under the Clean Air Act?
Sure does, June. This is the first time in 50 years that a waiver for California has been revoked. There's nothing in the Clean Air Act that authorizes the Trump administration or any administration to actually revoke a waiver that's been in place. So right off the bat, you have a question of first impression for the courts.
It also raises questions of states' rights. Will the Trump administration's seemingly inconsistent position on states' rights play into this?
Yes. I mean, the Trump administration listens to the red states, but not the blue states. So 23 states have already announced they will be suing the Trump administration for revoking California's waiver because 13 states have actually adopted these California standards. So they're immediately and dramatically affected by revoking California's waiver. So this business of cooperative federalism works only one way. If the states that are in agreement with the Trump administration want something, they get it. If the states disagree with the Trump administration, they don't get it.
So do you think that California will bring up things like gun control, where the administration favors state rights, and abortion?
Well, they've got better arguments than that. This decision is bad for public health, it's bad for climate, and it's even bad for business, which is probably the most ironic thing of all. It's going to cost jobs. It isn't going to save jobs. It isn't safe. You know, the acronym for this revocation is, the acronym is SAFE. Well, there's an EPA analysis in the administrative record that says it will actually lead to slight increase in motor vehicle mortality, not a decrease. The Trump administration is arguing that it's going to save money. It isn't. It's going to cost the average consumer $3,000 over the life of a vehicle because of the reduced fuel costs. The total cost estimates that are in this decision package is $460 billion over the life of these particular fleets of automobiles through the mid-20s. The states have really, I think, the strongest possible arguments I've seen to overturn a Trump decision.
And that was Vermont Law School professor Pat Parento speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 10 points this morning. Dow futures up 86. NASDAQ futures up 30. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.